What's up, everyone? This is the Next Day podcast, episode 31, with Mikhail and
Antonika,
where we have conversations on different topics. So we have another episode that we're going to be talking about. What are we talking about today, Tanika?
So today we are going to be talking about Rodney King and the riots that erupted around what happened with him. We did briefly talk about him during the jury trial episode when we talked about O.J. Simpson. Well, now we're going to talk about Rodney King and maybe how that influenced things, especially in close proximity to it. And
okay,
this was a learning thing for me too, because I hadn't quite read up on this before. I mean, I right. knew the basics, but I was pretty angered actually reading this and can understand how it blew up the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you ready to get into it?
All right, so Tanika's going to take the lead here, guys. I'm just going to be in the background, possibly here and there, you know? So,
yeah, I'm sure you'll have lots to say, though. Kind of going back to, you know, Black History type episodes here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to definitely have a conversation. And I am going to send you a picture. I'm not going to be posting this picture on our socials because it's not a great thing to see. If you want to see
right.
what was done to him, I'm sure it's easy enough to find on Google, because obviously I found it. Right. But his injuries are pretty horrific. So I won't be posting that, but I will be sending it to you. So maybe I'll just do that now before we head into the episode. We can talk about that. So roughly 25 years ago, four LA policemen, which three of them were white, were acquitted of the savage beating of Rodney King. And he was a black man. A caught on camera by a bystander. There's a graphic video of the attack and was broadcasted into homes across the nation and worldwide. So very similarly to nowadays, where we see kind of when horrific things are being done to especially black people, that some of those things have been caught on like on your phone and broadcasted on Facebook. So imagine this was clearly very big for it to have been broadcasted in this way back in the in 91. So actually this was more than 25 years ago. This was 33 years ago. So because this article really is old that I'm reading, so it was about 32 years ago. Because this happened in 91. So fury over the acquittal, stoked by years of racial and economic inequality in the city, spilled over into the streets, which resulted in a 5-day riot in Los Angeles. It ignited a national conversation about racial and economic disparity and police use of force that continues today, because we're still dealing with this 32 years later.
Yeah.
32, 33 years later. Quote, when the verdict came out, it was a stunner for people coast to coast. My jaw dropped. And this was said by Judy David Armour, who was a criminal justice and law professor at the University of Southern California. Quote, there was ocular proof that happened. It seemed compelling. This is what he said about the videotape. And yet we saw a verdict that told us that we couldn't trust our lying eyes. That what we thought was open and shut was really a reasonable expression of police control toward a black motorist. So That's a very good point. If this was caught on camera, somebody, but again, we've seen this time and time again as of recent as well. You catch something on camera, it's right there. You can see that brutal force is being used, and yet these cops are being acquitted. Why? Because they're cops and using brutal force is allowed. Why? What was he doing that deserved brutal force? Which, it's like something, kind of just like self-defense, something has to match for them to do what they did.
Yeah.
Which something tells me that's not what happened. So a year earlier in March 91, Rodney King was on parole for robbery and had led police on a high-speed chase through Los Angeles. Later, he was charged with driving under the influence. When police finally stopped him, Rodney was ordered out of the car. Los Angeles Police Department officers then kicked him repeatedly, beat him with batons for a reported 15 minutes. All because he led them on a high-speed chase. That does not give you the right to then beat him for 15 minutes and hit him with batons. He's not doing anything to... Yes, maybe he pissed you off, and that's understandable. Because, you know...
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Rodney King clearly was not an innocent man. But he did not deserve that. I mean, come on. How many times have people been put on high-speed chases before? You don't throw them out of the car and then start beating them. Sick.
I don't think you get trained like that as a police officer, do you?
Oh no, I wouldn't think so.
I think you're supposed to, like, you know, not force them to stop, but like basically
you have safely to force them to stop for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's already stopped in the car.
Yeah.
And he's been ordered now out of the car. He's now out of the car. He's doing it. Now at this point, he's complying.
Yeah.
That then doesn't mean then, why are you beating him? Why are you beating him? I don't get that.
When was this?
Was in 91.
91.
Mm. Oh, and yeah. I will briefly talk about OJ and how this makes sense, why his acquittal makes sense. But I'll get to that more towards the end. But yeah, this was back in 91, and this was at a time where the racism was real and was hard, especially in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
At the time. So so the video showed that more than a dozen cops stood by watching and commenting on the beating. So they're not even doing anything. They're just, whatever. It's another black man being beaten. Who cares?
Not surprised.
Ronnie's injuries resulted in skull fractures, broken bones and teeth, and permanent brain damage. He's not coming back from that. Once you have brain damage, even if not permanent, you're still not coming back from that. So...
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, four officers were charged with excessive use of force. A year later, on April 29th, 1992, a jury consisting of 12 residents from the distant suburbs of Ventura County, 9 white people, 1 Latino, 1 biracial, and 1 Asian. Excuse me. I mean, biracial, you're halfway there, but... Again, biracial, what does that mean? Does that mean half white and half black? It might not. So where are his jury of his peers?
Can they say light skin? Or, you know, can they say mixed?
You're not going to say light skin. The proper term is biracial.
Yeah. But
biracial does not just mean black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Like half black, half white. That can mean half black, half Asian. That can mean half white, half Mexican. That can mean or a Latino. That could mean anything. So what does biracial mean? I would like to have a little more understanding on what biracial means. Because again, and I'm talking as a person who has a biracial sister,
mm-hmm.
someone who's biracial, if they are half white, half black, can choose to identify as one as the other.
Mm.
Okay, so I know with my sister, she identifies with her Jamaican side and identifies as such. But with somebody else, they might identify not as black, or maybe neither. Who cares, right? They can identify as whatever they want.
Maybe they couldn't put that, like, you know, half white, half black, or
they're not going to do that.
Yeah, they can't do that, possibly.
But maybe in terms allowed. But in terms of a jury, which we have talked about before, it has to be a jury of your peers. Yes, they're not gonna have all black or have all white. Like, that's not how it should be. But there should be some black presence in your jury. Right. Here I am coming in with it. O.J. Simpson did have a jury of his peers. His lawyers at the right, because jury selection happens prior to trial. Each lawyer has the right to say yes or no to person me on jury. You have alternates as well, right? This happens during the trial process, and the lawyers have that control as to who is going to be on a jury. So I don't know for a fact, but I'm probably going to guess that Rodney King had a public defender who probably didn't have his best interests and just whatever with the jury. How is there not someone who is black on his jury that is no longer a jury of his peers? So
interesting.
Technically, I guess it would be a jury of the officer's peers, but right. in this instance, there should be a black person on that jury to be on the side of Rodney King, or so at least, you know.
He didn't get to decide either. He didn't get his lawyer, Rodney King.
The prosecutor, because he would have been. It would have, well, Rodney King, technically, it's not Rodney King against the police. That would be civil. So okay. in criminal court, it's like the state, or I think it's the state, not federally, the state versus the defendants in this. So it would be the prosecutor. But you would think the prosecutor would think, let me get some black people on this jury. And there isn't. But anyway,
that's a miracle for you. So
right, these jurors found all four of these officers not guilty, which means they have been acquitted, which means they can never be charged again. Double jeopardy. So the acquittals were announced around 3 p.m., which was less than 3 hours later, and then the unrest began. So just also to let people know too, when I've never done jury trial, or been a part of a jury, which I kind of would love to do that, but I probably would be told no because of what I do. But when you do the trial, and then now the decision's up to the jury. When it takes 3 hours, that's not a good sign for prosecution, because that basically means when the jury goes in, they are given what they need to be told. They're told what they need to be told. They need to do in terms of, like, there's probably, I'm not sure if paperwork is the right term to use, but they are kind of instructed again. That takes time. They're probably going to eat something that, you know, like, that takes time. And then they finally decide, okay, who's for guilty, who's not for guilty. And if that, like, that clearly didn't take very long, honestly, especially with these people that we have who could be racist themselves, we don't know. You know, and again, we're also probably looking at, well, Rodney King's a criminal. So, you know, it was probably warranted. They're also thinking that probably as well, which 3 hours is not long for a jury to come back with a verdict. It doesn't look good when, right. You know, after 3 hours. So residents after this happened set fires. There was looting. They destroyed liquor stores, grocery stores, retail shops, and fast food restaurants. Light-skinned motorists, both white and Latino, were targeted because, again, we had a Latino person on the jury. So they were probably going to get targeted. Some were pulled out of their cars and were beaten, not saying that's okay. This should not be happening. The reaction to the acquittal in South Central Los Angeles, now known just as South Los Angeles, was particularly violent. At the time, more than half of the population there were Black. Tension had already been mounting in the neighborhood in the years leading up to the riots. Mm-hmm. The unemployment rate was about 50%. Mm-hmm. A drug epidemic was ravaging the area as well. And gang activity and violent crime were high. So think Boys in the Hood. This would have been right around that area. This is Boys in the Hood. So think that.
Yeah.
Another contributing factor, the same month as Rodney King's beating, a Korean store owner in South Los Angeles, this is going to trigger everybody, this shot and killed a 15-year-old African-American girl named Latasha Harlins, who was accused of trying to steal orange juice. Motherfucker. You're going to kill someone over fucking orange juice, even if she was stealing. I'm going to tell you she wasn't, but you're going to kill her over orange juice? The orange juice is that damn precious over someone's fucking life?
Yeah, that's stupid.
But as I said, it was later discovered Harlins was clutching money to pay for the juice when she was killed. So fuck this guy. She had money in her hand, right? To pay him. The store owner received, this is gonna anger you, received probation and a $500 fine. So her life only deserved probation and a $500 fine. His ass should have been in prison. Maybe not necessarily for the rest of his life, but close to it. Because I'm not sure if they would have considered this first degree. Because for first degree, really and truly, you only need seconds for that to be first degree. But maybe second degree.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have landed him in prison for the rest of his life. But he should have been in prison for the rest of his life.
So this was done in the 90s as well. Like,
This was right before the beating, like a month before.
Interesting. So orange juice was $1.20 back in the 90s.
Oh my god. That makes me even more angry.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh my god, yeah. So he killed her for $1.29, you said, right? Killed her, and this was in the US, right? Either way, it doesn't matter. You killed her for a dollar. You couldn't recover a dollar? Come on. I don't know if he's necessarily listening to this. Probably not. I don't know if he's alive still. We can hope. But if you are, fuck you. Like, really and truly. I hope you are in the pits of whatever hell you need to be in. Fuck you. This is horrible. Ugh. Okay. Let's get back to this. Okay, so the incident heightened tensions between Koreans and Black people, obviously, and intensified the Black community's frustration with the criminal justice system, obviously. Look, I'm mad about it 30 years later. This is not okay. At the same time, the community's anger was also deepening against Los Angeles police. African Americans said they did not feel protected during times of need, but instead reported being harassed without cause. The LAPD at the time was almost an occupying force particularly bias against people of color. And this was said by a lawyer and civil rights activist, Connie Rice. I've heard her name before. Here's the thing. LAPD needs to calm all the way the fuck down. Because you barely do your job. In any freaking part of the police station, you don't do your damn job. So calm all the way the fuck down with your racism and your bullshit. You can barely solve crimes. Okay? The Golden State Killer was caught not because of you guys, but because of what you call it, the ancestry. That's how he was fucking caught. You didn't do that.
Right.
Screw, there's other things that I could talk about. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, what's his name? Ramirez. You didn't catch him. Civilians who knew it was freaking him did your work. Fuck you, LAPD. Calm the fuck down. Thank you. My I'm done with that. Let's move back on. Well, a quote, what we have was an aggressive paramilitary policing to the culture that was mean and cruel, racist and abusive of force in communities of color, particularly poor communities of color. This was again said by Connie Rice. It was an open campaign to suppress and contain the Black community. LAPD didn't even feel it was necessary to distinguish between pruning out a suspected criminal where they had probable cause to stop and just stopping African-American judges and senators, okay, people who are contributing to society, and prominent athletes and celebrities simply because they were driving nice cars. Right, because they can afford their nice car, so they're pulling them over saying, you must have stolen this because there's no way you could afford this. You're Black. That's how this was. And honestly, that's how it feels even today. It's just not okay to just say, like, oh, there's no way. The riots first began at an intersection in South Los Angeles, Florence and Normandy, that's the intersection, according to news reports and firsthand accounts in the last like 30 or so years. Bystander Terry Barnett was at Florence and Normandy that first night of the riots and remembers watching the cops drive right by rioters without stopping. They didn't care, just drove right by them. Why? I'm curious to know why. Because in the grand scheme of things, you driving right past them, like, listen, I understand why the riots happened. I do. I get it. But at the same time, they are then going to start hurting innocent people.
Yes.
So why, like, are you waiting for that to happen so you can land them in prison for something harder? Or, like, do you just not give a shit? Like, I don't understand why that would have happened. I'm curious to know what thought process was going through police officers at that time to drive past these riots. So Terry and her boyfriend, along with two other strangers, all Black, helps rescue a white truck driver named Reginald Denny, who was beaten viciously by gang members who were rioting. And they have pulled Denny out of his truck at around 6:45 p.m. Barnett and her boyfriend and the other two strangers shoved him back into his car, into his truck, and drove him to the hospital, which eventually saved his life. I will have an update on him at the end. But yeah, it saved his life. He could have died. But again, I understand the anger. But now we're attacking people who we don't know how they think or how they operate. We don't know how they feel. There are white people who are on our side. And you're just attacking this person because of the color of his skin. That is no different than what the cops are doing to Black people. Exactly. You're not going to fight or deal with a situation by doing the exact same thing that they're doing. So She says that there were four cops in each car that passed by. And this is what she told NPR back in 92. They saw us and they looked right through us. They didn't give a shit. So when 911 calls about the violence started coming in, police were not deployed immediately. Although LAPD Chief Daryl Gates announced early in the afternoon of April 29th that his officers had the situation under control. Do you? Because I don't think you do. Something tells me you just don't, because it seems like you didn't have anything under control. It would later be reported that the city was not adequately prepared for the riots. In fact, there was no anticipation of or official plan at the department for a major social unrest at this scale. And there should be, because you just never know when things can happen. Every police department should have that, especially in a huge city like Los fucking Angeles. This should be something that you guys have been prepared for.
Yeah.
Quote, one of the most astounding things about the 1992 Los Angeles riots was the response of the LAPD, which is to say no response at all. And this was said by author Joe Demantic, I believe how you say his name, who has studied and written about the riots in an interview with Crispy Bates. That night, Gates went to speak at a fundraiser in West Los Angeles and reportedly ordered cops to retreat. So this is, I believe, that's the chief. So he literally told them to leave this fundraiser. That's a bad freaking idea. If you have like this where there's going to be a lot of people in one location, there should be police presence, especially with what's going on.
Yeah, there should always be a police presence all the time.
Yeah.
Type of situation.
Exactly. So police did not respond to incidents of looting and violence around the city until almost 3 hours after the original rioting broke out. For the rest of the night, the scene at Florence and Normandy repeated itself with the rioters across the city. Just before 9 p.m. That night, Mayor Tom Bradley called for a state emergency, you think? And California Governor Pete Wilson ordered 2,000 National Guard troops to report to the city. Yeah, I would say, and I do understand doing that, that's something that honestly probably would have happened even if the LAPD responded. Mm-hmm. But they didn't even freaking respond. They had a chance to get this shit under control.
Right.
And they didn't. Instead, now you have the state troops or national troops coming in. Come on. On May 1st, which was the third day of the riots, Rodney King himself attempted to publicly appeal to Los Angeles residents to stop fighting. He stood outside of Beverly Hills courthouse with his lawyer and asked people, quote, I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along? So even he's like, listen, I get it. Thank you. I understand what you're trying to do here. Can you stop? Like, you're not helping. Please stop. During the 5 days of unrest, there were more than 50 riot-related deaths, including 10 people who were shot and killed by LAPD officers and National Guardsmen. More than 2,000 people were injured, and nearly 6,000 alleged looters and arsonists were arrested. Where are you putting them? There's nowhere. I understand doing it again, but again, where the hell are you going to put these people? That's too many people. 6,000 people?
Yeah.
No prison is equipped for that. Like, man.
6,000 people in the prison?
There's no way that 6,000 people can fit in a prison. You're going to have to put them somewhere else.
Huge prison, or is it a small?
No, so, and we're confused. So prison is prison. They're arresting them and putting them in jail. Jail is a smaller scale. It is usually in the police station. And so it's going to be a lot smaller. A jail really should only probably fit roughly maybe 30 to 40, maybe 50, you know, not 6,000 people.
So it's in, okay, so it's in jail, not prison. Okay, yeah, I see. It's in
jail, not prison.
Okay, I thought you meant prison, and I'm thinking prison holds like a lot of...
Oh, yeah. But even with that, though, you already have... Prison has really, truly, certain prisons, not all prisons, but most prisons have... all prisons have a limit. So you already have, like, potentially a capacity or close to capacity... And then we're going to put 6,000 more people even into a prison. You're still going to be at the brim, even then.
Mm.
So there's just, where do you put them? And you can't sick these people who have not yet been through the trial process or the court process and sick them into a prison. Where are you putting them? You can't sick them with like the murderers or something. You know what I mean? Mm. Like that's a recipe for disaster. You can't do that. Anyway, so of those arrested during the riots, 36% were African American and 51% were Latinos, according to the RAND. So, if any, the larger percentage of those people arrested were not even Black people.
Oh.
So, that's also very interesting. The riots also disrupted daily life. A city curfew from sunset to sunrise was announced, mail delivery stopped, and most residents couldn't go to work and school because of us. More than 1,000 buildings were damaged or destroyed, and approximately 2,000 Korean-run businesses were also damaged or destroyed. In all, approximately $1 billion worth of property was destroyed. That is insanity.
That's insane.
The city curfew was ultimately lifted on the morning of May 4th, and most schools, banks, and businesses were allowed to reopen. It's only a few days after the riots were over, they were able to go back to normal. Slowly, residents returned to their everyday routines, but the Rodney King beating and the Los Angeles riots exploded out of social issues that still have not been resolved. That shocking grainy video of his beating would just be the first of a long line of police brutality videos to go viral, which we did kind of briefly talk about. That and issues such as racial profiling are as evident now in places such as Baltimore, Ferguson, and other inner cities as they were in 1992, Los Angeles. The USC professor, oh, sorry, this was said by Armour, who is the USC professor. We did talk about another quote he did, an author of a book about what he calls the 1992 uprising. He says, "Ain't nothing changed but the year it is."
Mm.
Which is true. Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Basically, what has happened in the last year or so years since this happened. So after the civil trial, so he did sue them civilly, Rodney King. He was awarded a settlement. We don't know exactly what the settlement was, but he, with the settlement, he was able to buy a modest house for his mom and also one for himself in the LA suburb of Rialto, sorry if I'm saying that wrong. And occasionally he spoke with at-risk kids at the request of local police. So the police literally goes to him and say, "Can you help these guys, you know, these kids not go down the wrong..." Are you fucking surreal? Right. Anyways.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, so he literally got probably millions, I would say.
Oh, I think so.
If he's able to afford a house for himself and then his mom.
In Los Angeles, I mean, I know this was the 90s, and I know obviously house prices have changed.
Yes.
But Los Angeles is, in California in general, is not a cheap place to live. So, Rodney, who was the son of an alcoholic father, continued to struggle with his own alcohol use after his beating. So remember, he was pulled over for, or he was charged with driving under the influence, mm-hmm. whatever that was. So he clearly has been struggling. He was struggling with this for a long time.
Yeah.
He told NPR in April 2012 that his sobriety was a work in progress. He was engaged to be married when he died in June of that year. A skilled swimmer and a surfer, King was found unconscious at the bottom of his swimming pool. His autopsy reported drugs and alcohol were in his system at the time of his death. He was 47 years old.
Sad.
Yeah.
That's young stuff.
He was very young. And again, he was very young when that happened, because this was 2012. So that was roughly 20 years. Yeah, 20 years mm-hmm. after it happened. So he would have been in his late 20s when all this happened too.
Yeah.
In 1993, Stacy Kuhn and Lawrence Powell, two of the four officers in the King case, were found guilty of violating his civil rights. They both served 30 months in prison and did not return to the police force. They no longer live in California. The other two officers, Timothy Wind and Theodore Brasino, were both fired from the LAPD and also no longer live in California. Tom Bradley, who was the first African-American mayor of Los Angeles, who we did talk about briefly, he died in 1998 at the age of 80, and he served 20 years as the city's leader, so that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. After 14 years as chief of LA police, Daryl Gates, he was forced to resign in June of 1992. Good. He died in 2010 at the age of 83. After an extensive surgery and therapy, Reginald Denny, who was the truck driver who was beaten, whose skull was fractured on April 29th, right? When a rider threw a brick at his... Oh my God, they didn't say that earlier. They threw a brick at his head. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Among other injuries, regained his ability to walk and talk, and he currently lives in Arizona. So... That's kind of the update on everybody after the fact. So what I did want to kind of briefly talk about is O.J. Simpson kind of now tying this back in with... So we did talk about Rodney King briefly, so let's talk about this O.J. Simpson briefly. His counsel, his legal team, used what happened with Rodney King to their advantage. So there wasn't just the people who were affected in the Rodney King case or anyone else who was affected after the fact during the riots as well. Mm-hmm. You also had two families be affected. And this is the only thing I'm talking about. There could be so much more. But you had two families that were affected by the choice of the LAPD. And... Because I guarantee, if it weren't for what happened to Rodney King and the riots that followed, O.J. Simpson would be in prison right now. Still in prison right now. They needed something like that to happen. And it did. And it allowed O.J. Simpson to get away with it. And would not have been able to be recharged for it. You have to think about what you do and how that can cause a ripple effect. And I also do want to say, most of his legal team is either dead or not even practicing anymore, but there's at least one person who's still alive. And shame on you for using this to your advantage. This was, yes, a criminal. Yes, Rodney King was a criminal, but he was innocent in what happened to him. Because you can, both can be the same. O.J. Simpson was not innocent. He killed his wife. Even before that, he was hurting her. There was so much going on between the two of them that was being ignored. So shame on you for using this to your advantage. He didn't deserve that. He should have been in prison for the rest of his life. And their family should at least have had that justice. They had no justice. Her family or both families did not have justice. To this day, still don't. Because he's not paying them a dime. Even if, you know, they have a civil case, he's not paying them a dime because he doesn't have money. Or he did things in order to make sure he didn't have to pay them. It's also that too.
Right.
But it's a shame. It's a shame on everybody.
Yeah.
But that was the problem. And that's how they were able to get away with it. But, that is Ronnie King.
Yeah, that's pretty... Oh, I learned something, you know, little bit.
I did too.
Police brutality still runs
deep.
So, which it's still happening to this day. So,
yeah, which is sad because it's like we just haven't learned anything. But that's exactly it. They criminally, anyways, were not held accountable. Like I said, we only truly have one instance where police officers were being held accountable. And that was George Floyd. And that was just in the last, this year would be 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been instances prior to George Floyd where nothing has been done. Even months prior to George Floyd, nothing had been done. Like,
maybe like, you know, police brutality does happen, but it's not like commercialized.
But that's even scarier.
Yeah.
That's even scarier.
Yeah. But things do happen probably to the police, but it's not commercialized either.
So. Well, that's the thing. I don't want to shit on police. I want to shit on the racist police. And that their racism is driving them to do, or the preconceived notions of somebody is driving them to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
all police are bad. Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah.
Most of them aren't. And some of them, even there's mental illness that's involved, and that's a whole other topic that we could talk about. But
right,
there is that aspect of it as well. But I'm not saying that things aren't happening to police. Of course it is.
Oh yeah.
And I was saying throughout this, Ronnie King was not innocent in this, right? He was running from the police. He did leave them on a high speed chase, which costs money. That's taxpayer money, right?
Yes.
That's not the way he should have been handling it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can always say, well, if it wasn't for this, like, would he have changed his ways? And no, but he was still struggling, at least with his sobriety, right? But that's not necessarily hurting anybody as long as he's not getting behind the wheel. But, he wasn't innocent in what happened to him in terms of what led up to the beating. That is where he was not necessarily innocent. But it was from that point to him being beaten to a pulp. There's ways you can do things if you need to get him under control.
Yeah.
And beating him and kicking him, number one, is not the way to get him back under control.
What do you say to the people that agree with the police in this situation? Like, what happened?
How would you feel if that was your child? Would you still feel the same? Ronnie King was someone's child. Maybe someone's father. We don't know I don't know if he had kids, but he was something to someone. And the injury that happened to him could have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you feel if that was your child? And don't sit here and tell me, oh, that wouldn't happen to my child. It could. Yeah. And again, we do talk a lot of times that this is happening to minority people, but it happens to white people too. So don't think you're out of it. That police brutality can get out of hand with even someone who's white. And I'm also talking white officers to a white person.
Yep, that happens too.
It does. It's not at the same scale, but it happens. So that's why I would turn him back around and say, what if that was your child? He wouldn't be so much on the police side. You know, I'm, like I said, I understand if maybe, I don't know if he was trying to run or whatever once he got out of the car, but let's just pretend that's maybe that's what he did. I don't think it's wrong to try and stop him. And I know tasing can be controversial as well, but
yeah,
you know, it's better than beating him to this extent, as long as you are under control with the tasing, because tasing can kill someone too.
Yeah, it can.
But as long as you're, you know, doing it within a way that is ultimately going to be safe for you as an officer and for him, then fine, do that. I get it. But beating him to this, if you saw his injuries, correct? And for anyone else who's curious, go out there and you can find his injuries. It's horrible what they did to him. And that picture was taken 3 days after the beating. So, the picture I sent you, Mikkel, which you probably can find, if everyone else can probably find the same picture, that was roughly 3 days after his beating. It looked like it just happened.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And if you guys want to do more research on Ron, you can. It's on Google.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's like books on it as well.
The article I read was NPR. I mean, it's pretty, reputable. NPR is pretty reputable, but yeah, I mean, this at the very least, if you kind of want to know, because I believe he did become like an activist as well. If you want to kind of learn more about his activism, if you want to see the injuries and kind of see what was done to him and kind of, because I think that really does put into perspective why things got out of hand and why people were so angered by the verdict. So I think that kind of puts things into perspective as well. I just don't want to post that on our socials. So you definitely can take a look for yourself and see.
Yep, there is a book based on his, there's a book based on his situation, I think.
That he wrote or someone else did?
Somebody else wrote it. So.
But there was a book that was done. I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same book.
The Riot Within My Journey from the Rebellion to Redemption.
Okay. It could have been, maybe he didn't write it, but he probably could have contributed to it.
Possibly, and probably co-signed it most likely, because that's his story.
Yeah. And that's another thing too, just because this is something that not something I deal with personally, but someone in my life who does deal with this. If you are struggling with alcoholism as well, definitely, I mean, you need to want the help as well, but there are definitely resources out there that are there for you, whether that's AA meetings, or if you feel you need to go to a rehab center, even talk to your doctor. Your family doctor can help with something like this as well. There's so many different resources out there for you to help with this. Whether that's you personally or someone you know in your life personally who struggles with this. Like I said, I have someone that I love that I know struggles with this. And it did take this person a lot of time to finally get to the point of where they are able to get that help. And they're doing a lot better. They still struggle. because addiction is always going to be a struggle. And it's always going to be who you are. But there are definitely resources out there to kind of, yes, you have this addiction, but it doesn't mean it has to take over your life.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. I have nothing else to.
I have nothing else. That.
Okay, so this ends episode 31 of the Next Tape Podcast. The Next Tape Podcast is available on all podcast platforms. We also have a website called solo.to/nexttapepodcast. Where else are we at, Tanika?
We are on Facebook and Instagram at Next Tape Podcast, and Twitter and TikTok at Next Tape Pod.
Okay, and you can also contact us on our email at mikaltanika@gmail.com. That is mikaltanika@gmail.com. So we talked about the Ronnie King event.
Case and riots.
Yep. And then towards the end, you talked about how, you know, O.J. Simpson used this to his advantage.
Sick fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So
this is the last time I think we're talking about O.J. Simpson, because I'm never talking about the full case.
Yeah.
Besides what I did already. Everyone knows about it. If you don't know, go watch People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. So that's it. You have anything else to say, Tanika, or, you know?
I mean, I think I kind of did my little PSA on a few minutes ago, and
okay.
I think I've said quite a bit already as it is.
All right.
So no, I have nothing else.
Yep, me neither. So I'm Mikael, and
I'm Tanika.
We are out until next week. Peace.
Bye.